and welcome to the Ramble Room. I'm joined by the usual people, Diane, Joseph, and Ken. And today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Tiffany Limebeck, and she is here to share a story with us. She reached out to us because she is fighting a good fight, hopefully a good fight. We haven't heard the story yet, so we might not air this.
It's debatable.
But welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on and glad to be able to help you if we can. So I'm just going to open it up to you and let you start at the beginning. And when you come to the end, stop.
Oh, boy. hope y'all, comfortable in your seats. Thank you, Sarah. And it's good to be on here, finally being able to kind of publicly share not only my story, but my son's story.
I definitely found out my blood runs patriot last year with, I'm sure as far as a lot of people found that out, too. But when my kids had to go back to school in masks was when it just really kind of hit the peak for me. I've never believed in them. I don't believe in what they're doing. And it started hurting my kids. Preston, my youngest, who's 8, has some pretty bad breathing problems and his asthma has increased. My other son is very active and he's 11. It's Peyton. And he's just constantly on the go. He doesn't believe in the masks. He always says he has a problem breathing. And so we went for, the usual exemptions. I started talking with the pediatrics clinic before school actually started. And even at that point, they had said that they won't accept any exemptions. So when I started going through the state mandates and looking at, what the wording and what that says for exemptions, I started with the school and said these boys are exempt from this mask mandate with, cited such and such of the Wyoming Constitution, cited the state mandate. The mandate was very, very explicit in its words, just saying that a parent or medical physician provider could provide the letter of exemption. So that's kind of where it all started. Of course, those were denied with very little explanation as to why they were denied. Just following district policy was basically what I got. And of recommendations of the Sheridan County Public Health Officer. So we kind of fought that for a little while and was getting nowhere on either of that. There was a parent protest that we joined, just kind of fight after fight that was just denied, and never really given an explanation. So we kind of, hit that wall. And I just told my boys, I said, if you guys want me to pull you out of school, I'll pull you out of school. And both of them were, no, we want to stay. We really want to stay in school. And so I said, okay, that's it. Then, if that's it, we have nothing left to do. We've done all we can. You guys are just going to have to stay in masks. And as unhappy as they were about that, they decided to, okay, we'll just go to school and we'll just deal with it. That was about October. They did really well. And then come March, my oldest, Peyton, started having problems. Interactions with teachers where he was being reprimanded for his mask falling down when he was running, not having it on when he was walking down the halls, a lot of outside conflict between him and faculty members while he was outside having his mask down. I started having to call the school, and it just kind of escalated from there into he was being set on the wall for 10 minutes at a time during recess, losing recess time after school. He was getting in conflicts. And it just kind of got to the point where I finally decided that I needed to, say something again. And so I started with the principal of his school, and it got nowhere. And basically, I was told how inappropriate he was in the halls, that he didn't follow the masks rules, that he was just one of those kids who was kind of labeled as a troublemaker because he basically became a criminal because he didn't follow the mandate. He didn't want to wear the masks. He had a hard time breathing. And So there was just lots of not nice interactions between my son and some faculty members. And when I finally was able to get one of the faculty members on the phone, it was just how disobedient my child was and this and that, and that he doesn't follow the rules and they're constantly having to telling him to put up his masks. And I was fighting the social distancing part. At that point, I knew I wasn't able to fight the masks. So Smart Start plan of District 2 specifically states in there social distancing. The state mandate specifically states social distancing. The county mandate states social distancing. And so I spoke to Peyton, and by the end of the conversation with the faculty member, I told her, you don't want to hear if my kid's getting in trouble for breathing. You don't want to hear from me again. Like, this is it. We're done. And I said, I'll talk to him, you know, we'll up his game in school while he's in the building. But if he is outside and he is social distancing.
Or running.
Yeah, which they're not supposed to have on either. You're right. Which they make them do. And I just said, if he's social distancing outside, I don't want to hear that he's in trouble. And that was okay for about 2 weeks. And I get these frantic text messages from Peyton. Where are you? Where are you? I'm getting in trouble. They're making me sit on the bench. And then he called me, and it was kind of chaos. And so I got to the school and had him explain everything and got his feelings on the whole situation. And so at that point, I was mad. I was pissed. And so I walked through the front doors of the school, and there were 1, 2, 3, 4 teachers sitting in there. And I just was like, what the hell's going on? Why is this happening to my child? Why does this continue to happening? They said we're following district rules, and he never follows the rules and this and that. And he's by the end of the conversation, 3 teachers, basically, including the principal, who I'd had this conversation about my son being outside social distancing, had basically told Peyton how disrespectful he was, disobedient, that it was extremely disrespectful. It had all happened because he had walked up a hill with his mask on, walked down the hill. He felt he was far enough away from the kids, so he pulled his mask down. A teacher told him to pull his mask on. He put his mask on. He walked farther away, was all by himself, pulled his mask off. And the teacher said, okay, that's it. Peyton, come sit on the bench. And he said, well, I don't have to put my mask on if I'm social distancing. My mom told me that.
And you're outside.
Outside, after school. And so that's when the teacher said, okay, you need to come sit down by me, and had this conversation about respect, and that he was being disrespectful, that he pulled down his mask when the teacher told him to pull his mask up.
You're not quite sheepy enough for the sheep club.
Yeah. And that's when the frantic text and call was coming into my phone. And the teacher said, Peyton said, as soon as he started texting me, the teacher said, oh, you can go.
So he's allowed to have his phone, which is a school policy, right? I mean, you said it's after school, so he's just waiting for you to pick him up. Okay.
Yeah. Well, my worry is that it's after school. I don't know how far away this hill was.
So. It's right outside the front doors.
Okay, but at least 6 feet.
He said by the time he pulled down his mask, he was far enough away from the kids to be. He says 6 feet.
And it's outside.
Yeah. He's 11, so 5 feet could have been 6 feet, you know. But he was physically walking away.
But the COVID could have blown. Was he upwind or downwind? Yeah.
What was the temperature?
You need to be very certain about the
ambient air pressure.
He was holding his tongue out while he was walking, so droplets were flying. He was so speedy.
His thumbs were typing so fast, the COVID was just flying out of them.
So that's kind of started when I got there. You know, I went into the school and I was loud. I was mad. I wasn't screaming at the top of my lungs. I have a very loud, passionate voice. And it was probably about octave 6. You know, it wasn't full blown. There were no kids. The only child was mine. And speaking honestly, the kids heard anything and everything come out of my mouth. So whatever I was going to say was not going to surprise my own child. But he was the only one there. They were all adults in the room. I was emotional. I was mad. They basically lied to me and were, you know, harassing my child with not very nice words to an 11-year-old. And so the only thing they could say was that they were following district policy and that the masks are district policy. And I said, so is social distancing. And he was social distancing. And the principal told me that if he was social distancing outside, that he wouldn't be getting in trouble. And what is going on? And they were like, wait, we don't have any control over this. And I said, yes, you do. I said, somebody in this freaking room has control over that. Like, you guys can stand up. This is, and I kind of put my hands around my face and I said, this is bullshit. And the principal came down and basically, you know, again, just belittled Peyton and how rude and just that it, you know, that it's not respectful to disobey a teacher like that. And I said, he didn't disobey. He did exactly what he said and exactly what you said. He social distanced. You told him, like I told him. Just watching my son hear that, and another teacher kind of told her story about what happened. And I mean, Peyton's, I could feel his heart beating out of his chest. And he was like, no, she's lying. She's lying. That's not what happened. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And, you know, this is after multiple calls and multiple incidents of him getting in trouble for breathing or pulling his mask down.
How dare you?
But yeah, basically for getting in trouble. I was specifically told by the principal that if my son feels like he needs to take a breathing break, or if he feels like he can't breathe, he needs to ask a teacher to take a breathing break.
What's a breathing break?
Well,
I've never gotten a breathing break before.
Yeah. I didn't think the Constitution needed to have that listed in our inalienable rights.
At least it didn't say a break from breathing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's George Floyd. That's a different issue.
And in a petition that some parents got together in the hearing that we got with the school board meeting, one of those faculty members actually suggested that if a child needs to, you know, take down their mask and have this little breathing break, that they should go to the corner of the room, which is just, why do you send a kid to a corner of a room?
They're in trouble.
Because they're in trouble. Oh. So you're basically telling these kids, go shove your nose into a corner, you disobedient, disrespectful, rude little boy, go breathe on your own.
I always did kind of like the dunce hats, though. I thought they were very stylish.
We
I wore it all
back.
The time.
Instead of dunce, though, it's going to say O2.
Yeah. You know? Breathers.
Yeah. Breathers. But it kind of came to a head in there, and basically I was told that this is rules. If my son doesn't want to obey them, he can start having write-ups, you know, yada yada, that she had a meeting, she didn't have time for me, if I couldn't be appropriate, if I couldn't act like an adult and have appropriate language, yada yada yada, that I needed to leave school grounds.
And I wanted to clarify something in my own mind real quickly. I think earlier on I heard you say that according to the rules set down by the state, the mandates, that a parent could write an exception?
Yes, sir.
For their child?
Yes. It is under the K-12. I don't have the things in front of me, but the K-12, yeah.
Respect goes both directions. And I guess that's what irritates me about it. I understand that the people there are doing what they interpret as following the rules.
Right, yeah.
And that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do.
Correct.
But there needs to be a better understanding of what the rules technically and actually are. And if this child or any other child has an exemption, then they need to make a special provision. Maybe they need to put his desk in a special place where it's 6 feet away from some others. I don't know. But they ought to be working with him,
right,
instead of against him. And the fact that if what you're saying is accurate and they are belittling him and making him feel like the criminal, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. That seems counterintuitive to what these professional educators and people who have presumably gone to school and been taught how to handle kids and how to handle parents.
And I think you're 100% right. I think that, you know, that nobody knows the rules. Everyone's passing the buck. No one's responsible for this. They're just following this. They're just doing that. But they've been taught. They, you know, kids now, they don't follow their agenda, whether or not that's, you know, personal or indoctrinated into them during their schooling is... But he's not following their agenda.
In a broader perspective, this is what's going on in the whole culture.
Exactly.
We have rules about how to become a citizen of this nation. But if you don't happen to like the rules, you can just go beat down doors and steal right. stuff and burn stuff.
And we're very...
This is more of the same.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm that mom and pretty proud of it. You know, my boys are good kids. They're
Every
kids.
Mom
they make mistakes.
That.
Well, okay.
Not my mom.
Callers, callers. Can we request callers to come in and say,
vote for
I need
my
a character
kids.
Witness. Vote for my kids.
I have met your kids. And
we can request, but the only caller is my mom. Okay. And you don't want to hear what she has to say.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, no, I do. I mean, I pride myself on you know, being a single mom and raising my boys as good, solid, God-fearing men that are going to stand up for what they believe in. And Peyton's doing that. So after being kicked out of the school, I kind of just took a step back for a little while and just kind of set with it. And then my son, my youngest son, Preston, told me that he almost got suspended. So he told me the story of him and four boys. He's eight. They were at lunch, and he said that they were having some conversations, and one of the boys asked him, he said, hey, boy A wants to know, who, if you had to choose, who would you kill, boy one or boy two? And Preston was like, oh, I don't know. And he said, well, hey, boy one, do you go to church? And boy one says, yeah, I do. We go all the time or something like that. And so he looked at boy two and he said, well, boy two, do you go to church? And this is at their lunch table at school. And boy two was like, no, that's such a waste of time. And Preston, who's eight, said, well, I'd kill boy one. And I said, okay, okay. Okay. So I was like, well, you know, why did you choose boy one? And he said, well, he knows God. And I said, okay.
I'm sending him to a better place.
He's like, it won't matter if, you know, he gets hurt or dies because he's going to Jesus. Like, it's not going to matter.
And this we'll give boy two another chance.
That's exactly. So I said,
and this
well,
is eight
yeah,
years old.
8 years yeah. old.
So, man, I had way worse conversations when I was 8 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah. So he said, I said, well, why didn't you choose boy two? Like, he's your friend. Like, you know, playing devil's advocate here. And he's like, well, he doesn't know Jesus, Mom. And I said, okay. And he said, well, he doesn't know him. So he wouldn't go. And I said, Preston, I said, did you not choose boy two because he doesn't know Jesus and he needs more time? And he was like, well, yeah. Like, I was, you know, silly for asking that question. And we were sitting in the car after having this conversation and I was waiting for the principal's phone call. And I just said, sweetheart, you can be suspended. I don't care. Like, at this point.
He's eight. He's not actually planning on killing somebody.
Like,
he was asking,
yeah,
asked a question.
We're not,
and
you know, in
it.
Preliminary, you know, figuring this whole case out. But he just, I just was like, sweetie, that was the most loving answer.
Unless you're
you
boy
could
one.
Really could. Yeah. Yeah. But sorry, boy one, you love God. You're out.
Boy
but
one happens to
that's
be the principal's kid.
Opposite of
exactly.
Columbine.
And but he, you know, that someone heard the conversation, told his teacher, the four boys were talked to. It was Preston, which this has never been confirmed. Preston said that he was rated as a level four incident, which is like bringing guns to school.
Oh, you got levels now.
Yeah. So, you know, disciplinary levels.
I
and
wonder what
so,
level we would have gotten to.
You know, it was not an appropriate conversation for third graders to be having at the school lunch table, and which I get.
That's the only kind of conversation
said,
we had when I was eight or nine. They were all inappropriate.
And, right. And I said, and, you know, and I just said to myself, I said, you know what? I don't think there's a better place to have that conversation if my eight-year-old is talking about Jesus. Like, he can have that conversation anywhere, and it's a good conversation. It's a good place. And so he had to kind of refocus. And so he had an interaction with the principal there. He was the only boy that answered the question. So I don't know if that influenced, but there's, you know, he then got in trouble after school on the playground. Some girls were harassing him, calling him names, telling him he was dumb, that he was too tiny. There was no way he could be a third grader, that he was just too small.
So they think he's cute then.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
He's a level four.
He's a level four. Yeah.
Bad
he's
boy.
He's a bad boy. Yeah.
Good job, Mama.
And he loves Jesus.
Doesn't make sense, but it's hot.
Well, he walked up to the top of the slide and he was like, you know, I can hear y'all. Like, I'm here. I can hear you. And he said they continued. And he's, you know, Preston, that boy's a, like, he'll melt your heart. He is a level four. Like, he will. And he'll bat his little, you know, baby blue eyes. But so he went down the slide and one of the girls was inside the tube slide. And in connection of her going up the tube slide and him coming down, his foot kicked her head. He said it was on complete accident. Well,
is
she
there
went,
a right-of-way rule on a slide?
You're not supposed to go up.
You're not supposed to go up.
Now, there you go. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that was the school nurse's daughter. She came over, said, you kicked my daughter in the head. He said it was an accident. She was calling me dumb. I came and had an interaction with the school nurse. It was all Preston's fault. So then the next day,
he must be a straight white male.
Yes.
And he loves God.
Yeah. He forgot to check.
He's
his privilege.
A boy. Yeah. He's strike three. I people tell me all the time, you know, you're not raising your boys to be respectful. You're not, you know, cause I tell them if the teachers aren't respectful to you, like you're not rude, but stand your ground. And so I get a lot of flack for my boys aren't going to be respectful of elders and they need to respect elders and this. And I said, well, my boys are A, Christians. They're B, boys now. And C, now they're white. Like, they have three strikes against them. I'm not going to raise them to be respectful, quote, in quotes. I'm going to raise these dudes to freaking survive. This is going to be hard for them and they're boys, you know, and I want good, strong-willed men to protect, you know, their family, their God. So I get a lot of flack for that, but disclaimer, it's not changing. So I'm pretty vocal in my parenting with the school and what they're doing. There's numerous times where Peyton's been kind of pointed out and singled out. He's felt like he's been singled out, that he gets in trouble for breathing. There's just been a lot of harassment. After the playground incident, the principal, three other teachers, I was at work. I have a vending machine business. I have a vending machine in their teacher's lounge. Her and three other teachers basically ambushed me in the teacher's lounge and said, we need to talk about the disciplinary action of the playground incident, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I said, well, what's happening to the other girls? And they said, well, we didn't get that story. And I said, so my kids being kicked off the playground, the discipline was my children were no longer allowed to be on the playground after school without me being present. This is 3 years of them going to the school, playing on that playground after school. But now this is a district policy. And I said, so their girls are getting kicked off the playground too, right? And they said, well, no, they're students of teachers here. So they're allowed to be on the playground. They spend so much extra time at school that they can be on the playground. And I said, so because they're students of teachers, they can do whatever the hell they want on the playground, but they're
the children of teachers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. Mine's a student and not of a teacher. But anyways, so he was getting, you know, this disciplinary action came down on him. And, you know, by the end of it, I was just like, nope, I'm done. And I just was like, I stood up and I looked at the principal and I said, you know, my kids are scared to come to the school because of you. My kids are scared to breathe because of you. Like, you treat my kids like I'm staring right at her, you know, and excuse after excuse of, oh, well, I had to call five parents today on masks. And I was like, great. Are their kids getting kicked off the playground? Like, you know, where's the meeting of the parents and these girls? Oh, well, we can't disclose any of that information. Well, are they getting disciplined? Oh, well, we can't share that information with you. And I was like, okay, we'll see. So I drive to drop the boys off with our dad. And Preston, and I said, I call my lawyer at that point. I call the principal, the district's office, talked to Scott there, told him everything because I was done. At that point, being ambushed in the teacher's lounge, and not that I was scared, you know, I could have got out.
So the cops always ask, I could have got out. Were you in fear for your life?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But I mean, you look at that, and if that would have been four males, you know, I mean, I'd have a hell of a case. And I don't think that just because it was four females, there's no doubt in my mind that they tried to intimidate me.
Well, if it had been one male,
you know, blocking my exit, you know, and not that I was, you know, I'm kind of spunky, you know, I can...
You can handle it.
I could have jumped my way across the table if I would have felt that threatened.
You and Nancy Pelosi, street fighters.
But it's
part of the point is whether you were scared or not, that's not procedure.
Exactly. No.
Let's get her in the lounge.
Yeah.
If they want to talk to you, there's procedure.
Exactly.
And this was already, they were addressing the playground incident between your son and these girls, but the girl that got physically hurt, her mother had already had a discussion with you, correct?
Yes.
So you had already dealt with the other parent / faculty member that should have been done.
Yeah. And after the conversation in the teacher's lounge, I went out and I saw the school nurse and I said, hey, you know, I respect you. I love you as my friend. I'm not okay with this. And, you know, the response was, well, I can see him getting in trouble if this is, you know, a repeated offense. And I was like, you know my kid. Like, you know him. He doesn't do this. So that was kind of my final point. That was on a Friday. I dropped him off with their dad on the way. I said, what did the principal say to you about the playground incident? And he said, nothing. And I said, no, she talked to you, you know, about the playground. And he was like, no, she didn't. And I said, well, who talked to you? And he said, no one. And I said, Preston, you know, the principal, which teacher talked to you about, you know, the whole where you got in trouble for the playground? And he said, no one. He said, the school nurse, he said, her mom's the only one that came and talked to me. And she was so distracted, she ran off after her daughter. And I said, so no one, not the principal has never talked to you about this? So that's not procedure either. This is a first offense besides...
They're more like guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to follow the science.
Well, and that's what they're doing with everything, is picking and choosing what they want to follow and what they don't.
Well, and unfortunately, they have a target painted on their back because of the masks and stuff like that.
Well, but, and the funding.
Right.
I mean, if they don't follow procedures, the funding, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can always follow the money.
Yeah, spokesman's for, you know... for Gordon's office, we had to, you know, we can't lift the emergency orders. We're receiving all of this money. Like, why would we do that? That's
dumb.
Isn't it
crazy how they were just admitting now that it's all about the money?
Exactly.
And not really about COVID-19.
But, you know, I remember when you were a conspiracy theorist saying
that's
that.
That's how prostitutes
you know,
work.
I remember. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? That's how prostitutes work.
It's all about the money?
Yeah. Mm. I just did it for the money.
Oh, well, then hell, I'm in the wrong profession.
I'm doing behind this mic.
You mean I could have been getting paid for that? Yeah, what? Grab the kids off with their dad and kind of explain the situation to him and come back. And Monday, Peyton had wrote a letter about the harassment that he's getting, listed the teacher's names, the principals, everything. I read that letter to the school board meeting, which is a whole other podcast, meeting. Oh, my gosh. I, what they are able to get away with is it's crazy. I hope people are realizing that. Like, one of my biggest fears is, yeah, the mask mandate for K-12 has gone as of Monday. But, I mean,
It'll be back.
Yeah. All someone has to do is, you know, fart COVID and they're masked up again. I read that letter. That was on April 5th. It's now April 16th, 17th. What is today?
17th.
Not one school board member, trustee, faculty member, the principal was in that meeting, has reached out to me or my son. Not one. Whether or not they believe that my son's stories are fabricated or inflated by emotion by a mom or whatever, I don't give a shit. You don't bring an 11-year-old's letter that he wrote about being harassed and in fear of walking into the school and a school board not do a damn thing about it. Like,
well,
that's just not okay. So that's crazy to me. Like, what masks, COVID, socialism, whatever, that's a little boy. And where's the humanness of our school board right now? Where's the humanness of that principal where he states that he is in fear of going to that school? My son's scared to breathe, for crying out loud.
He should just start farting.
Yeah. What?
Sorry.
But, you know, now, I mean, if you look at the, you know, the mask mandate is gone and everybody's celebrating. And I'm sitting here going, okay, my kids had 7 months, however many months of school of harassment. It's coming down on my 8-year-old. They're doing it to me. Like, this is crazy, y'all. Like, I can't believe that they're no. No more.
Mask mandate lifted or not, your sons have a target on their back now.
And they're going to be that target, and they're going to continue to be that target because they didn't follow the agenda whether they're not in masks or not.
Right. Teachers know their names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Frequently asked questions on that whole email that came out that says masks are now optional. Quarantine, what's going to happen in quarantine? If the people are exposed and they're in masks, no quarantine. If the kids are fully vaccinated, no quarantine. Unmasked or unvaccinated kids will be quarantined. So, I mean...
Well, and that's your next battle as a parent. They might have done away with the mask, but now it's going to be a vaccine hunt.
We can't even call that quarantine.
But that's crap. I mean, they're already... They're already in their control. And people... I feel like a lot of people are missing that. Like, hey, right there, it states, you go against our agenda. You stand up for your constitutional, personal, human, Christian, faith, whatever rights you believe in. And you're disciplined. You are chastised. You are out. You're quarantined if you are not vaccinated and you are not in masks. Like, they're being in trouble for not following the agenda. That's coming out right there. That should not be a rule.
So vaccines are not mandatory, but if you choose not to get them, we punish you.
Exactly. Right. Email after email after email that's being ignored. Ignored. I have requested meeting after meeting. Meeting after meeting has been denied because we don't have meetings with lawyers, Tiffany, is basically what I've been told. Well, I guess we won't have a face-to-face meeting. And I said, why? Oh, come on, Tiffany. We don't have meetings with lawyers. That's not how we do it. And I said, well, bring yours. We can,
be a party. I'll bring cookies.
Yeah.
I've heard of people not liking attorneys before, but that just seems rather rude to me.
So I can't get a meeting because I want representation there. A phone call will not be scheduled because I have asked for it to be recorded or to have a witness of mine on the line. So a couple phone calls that I've ignored, a couple phone calls that I couldn't get to or couldn't get returned. And so I have no answer that my child's harassment, the ambush of me, has never been addressed.
Well, it sure sounds like they're trying to hide
anyone.
Something with that. We don't want to talk to your lawyer.
Is that what you get out of that?
Yeah, that seems a little suspicious.
but suspicious or not, it's bull. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, masks gone, masks, vaccines, whatever. That board is not doing what we elected them for. That board is not for these kids. I can't imagine if, a little 8-year-old, 11-year-old transgender kid walked in there and their parent read a letter that their principal was harassing. I can't believe that principal's ass wouldn't be grass.
Yeah.
That's harassment. He's 11. He is in fear of her. You can't tell me that can just be swept under the rug. And
it's a big rug, Tiffany. There's a lot of room under there.
Well, it's not really, it's a big hole and they just sweep it in the hole and then put the rug back over. But I've reached a point where, you lift up that rug and I'm jumping in there and I'm climbing out with all of this crap.
What did the clown say from It? So we all something down
we
here?
We all float down
Yeah,
here.
We all float down here.
Yeah.
We all comply down here.
That movie. Yeah, I'm going to go in there and then I'm going to shoot out of there.
I almost thought thought you were talking about the one that said, does this taste funny? The cannibal clown.
Oh, my God. I did too. And then I was no, he's like, what's that song they sing? I was like, it's a cartoon.
She's too young for It.
No, I imagined the serial killer face looking clown guy when you said that. Yeah.
That's creepy.
Aww.
So going back to the beginning, you and I had a conversation before this school year. You and I had a conversation this summer before the school year started about your concerns with your kids wearing the masks and about whether or not they were going to get 2 weeks into school and they were going to shut it down and you'd have to pull them out anyway. Mm-hmm. But you, as a single mom, are kind of in, I wouldn't say a unique situation because they're scads of us.
There's lots of them.
But you kind of had to make the choice of, if I keep them out, how the heck am I going to do that?
Yeah.
And you gave them the option. That was my understanding, is that you kind of asked them.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the school year, I don't think any of us really thought that it was going to, you know, continue. I actually thought that they would just shut it down,
right,
and I'd have to figure it out. I mean, I work, I have my vending machine business. I do some coaching, life coaching on the side. Have clients that I work with that. Day-to-day living, obviously, single mom.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. I pick my kids up from school. I drop them off. They don't ride the bus. You know, I try to be present with them as much as I can. I figure it out when they shut the schools down. And then when they continued, and then when they, you know, I started researching and, oh, they can be in exemptions and then fighting that. And then we were into October, November, and then it's, you know, it's got to end soon. And after Christmas, we're going to do it. And just that. And by the time the harassment came, I was like, nope, we're done. And that's when I gave them the choice. Mm-hmm. You know, you either buck up, you follow the rules, or I pull you out.
Right.
But nobody is clear on what the rules are.
Right. Well, and at that point, I was like, if you guys are, you know, if you guys want to be outside and social distance without your masks, you know, follow the rules in school. Mm-hmm. And Peyton always gets in trouble. And I asked Preston, I said, Preston, do you ever get in trouble for your mask? And he said, no. And I said, well, how often does it fall below your nose? And he's like, all day.
Right. Along with all of the other kids.
Yeah. He's this cute little innocent, you know, heartthrob. And Peyton's this, you know, mini me walking around going, I bleed patriot. I ain't wearing a mask. And either or. One should not get in trouble. If we're going to hold kids to standards, you know what? Let me choose how high I take those standards with my kids. You're not going to hold one kid at a standard level for their etiquette on the playground and not the other two girls.
Joe nailed it earlier. Their goal is to produce sheep.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. They've been indoctrined and getting into all of this and learning more about, you know, the school boards. I remember, you know, growing up over in Dubois, like our school board meetings were probably held over brandings, you know, with yeah. Coors Lights and the principal going, oh, get them by the horns, you know, or something like that. So that's kind of, you know, good old boy, what I'm used to. And once I started diving into this, I thought, oh, good God, we're in trouble.
But I guess the point that I was making is that you knew what the restrictions were going to be when you enrolled your kids.
Yep.
And then we've heard crazy exceptions, like when they're at lunch, they can pull their mask down in order to eat. Or when they're on the playground, they have different restrictions or whatever. It seems like the rule keeps changing. So how can you expect a bunch of little kids to understand?
Have these people ever seen an 8 or an 11-year-old eat?
And have they ever seen the masks that they are continuing to put on their face? Tell me that's healthy.
Yeah, and they're touching that mask all day.
They don't care about any of that. They don't care about whether or not the masks. It's not about the masks. So we can't fight that. Well, for me, we can't fight that.
Right. And we do have to give them the benefit of the doubt that we give everybody else. Okay, they may not agree with these, but in order to keep their job, they have to comply.
And that's it.
You were aware of the situation.
Yeah.
But there were exemptions in all of
but
the
mandates.
But they
picked and choose which ones they would do. And it's, you know, I mean, rumor viral all around, you know, school nurses were told not to allow exemptions. No pediatrician in Sheridan would allow or write an exemption letter. They denied the parent letters of exemption and said that under advisement of the county health official that they were requiring doctor's letters to have the exemption. Well, none of the doctors would give it. So obviously they would give that excuse.
Right.
Because none of the doctors here, they all stated that no one here had any sort of illness that would, masks would inhibit. Now my son, Preston, 8, has been hauled by the ambulance from the his school for not breathing, like in oxygen in the 80s. The school nurse called the ambulance. Just this year, she said, well, he's not ready to go by ambulance, but you need to come get him now and either go to urgent care or, you know, you need to get him in. He's not ready for the ambulance. So whether or not, it's not the fight against the masks. Now it's, okay, they take them off, whatever. They're, you know, people are starting to get pissed. They're starting to feel retaliation. Of course they're going to start dropping off like flies.
But this... From the beginning, it's not like you sent your kids into the lion's den and said, okay, now resist at all costs.
No, no.
And started this other stuff. And have either one of your boys had disciplinary issues with the school in the past outside of the norms?
No.
Okay. Just making that clear because it's not
I'm like, no, I knew this question was coming. No. Parent-teacher conferences. The biggest thing is, you know, him and a couple other boys were being disruptive in class. And I was like, well, throw a ruler at them. Get their attention.
They're
like,
boys. They're boys.
Like, you're 8 or 11. You're not allowed to say that anymore, though. Boys will be boys.
Well, and I, there's a little bit, Joe, that I agree with that. Like, I do not, just because my boys are boys, that is not an excuse for them to act like
idiots.
But
you still urge them to grow up. Yeah,
but there is a part of boys will be boys that... You know, and that's what we're taking away. I mean, we're stripping away their masculinity by saying, who would you kill? Well, you know, it wasn't like he pulled a gun and was going to do it right then and there. But I mean, that's boys. I mean, they run around with, you know, finger pointing guns and pew pew. And they do that. And now we're telling them that, you know, they can't act like that and they can't do that. And good Lord, they mentioned the word bomb and, you know, boys are bad.
Yeah. Like an 11-year-old knows how to make a bomb.
Yeah, right. I'm 40, and but he doesn't know how to make a bomb.
Like, well, we can fix that.
Oh, you're a girl. Next podcast. I'm in.
So that brings me to two other questions. One is, how many other parents were in the protests that you talked about, and are there other kids being harassed as your boys are?
I'm sure on the harassment part that there are,
but none that you've talked to personally.
No, and not on the level that we're getting, that me and my kids are getting. I stand up. For what, you know, I go in there and I ask what's going on and I'm, you know, loud and I'm saying this and that. So I've heard of other harassments where kids have gotten put on the wall for having their mask down and they've had to sit there for 10 minutes. Kids, you know, just being told constantly to pull their masks up and we've lost the foundation of school. All they care is whether their masks are on or not. They don't care whether or not they're, you know, tripping some kid down the hall or calling some kid dumb. Did he have his mask on? Okay, we're all good. We're good.
Is he passing mask?
Yeah.
No, but his mask was on.
Right.
A+.
So harassment, I'm sure it's happening, but it's hard. It's hard to stand up. It's hard to go to the school board meeting and say, hey, you know, that person right there, sitting right there is harassing my child. And I want you guys to do something about it. They're not. But it, you know, I have contracts. Like I have a business, you know, I feel like I have somewhat of a reputation to protect. Right. you know, I'm risking it. I'm risking dragging my kids through the mud, but what they're doing to them is far more important than any of that I just mentioned.
And there's always the option for you to pull your kids out of the school, but then who's standing in the gap of this happening
what does that fix?
Another family or
another
family.
Yeah, what does that fix? And I told them, I said, I'm not, and everyone's like, just pull your kids. They'll lose all of the money. Well, that's not how it works here.
Right.
There's a sliding scale.
They're
for
getting
3 years.
Paid money for kids that they don't have.
Exactly.
You pulling your kids is not going to do
anything. It doesn't do anything.
They're getting
anything.
Paid for teachers they don't have.
Yeah. And going to a different school district, that district gets more money for 3 years. So it's getting into all of this, you know, and whether or not, you know, my kid has emotional anxiety, you know, inflated stories or whatever the case may be. If she makes him feel like this, she makes someone else's kid feel like this.
Right.
And so this is, you know, for Peyton and this is for Preston and for me, but this is for their kids too. And standing up for them and getting it out. And if I pull my kids out, what does that do for, you know, Peyton number two?
it doesn't do much. So we made the decision, you know, hey, we're going to do this and keep them in. Doesn't make it right what they're doing.
I completely respect that. I want to take a step back, though. And this, if you're listening to this and you're concerned, and maybe you're taking one side, maybe you're taking another side, maybe you even know a little bit about the situation and you think it hasn't been fairly represented, that's possible. But Jesus told us not to be surprised if the world hates us. This is only the beginning. With freedom, with liberty, and this has been kind of a theme of our last few shows, and we're going to continue it on through this, with liberty comes responsibility. If you want to be a free person to raise your children the way they think to be, then you assume responsibility for them, which includes their education. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pointing the finger at you. I understand a single mother and the responsibilities and the difficulties that this presents.
But that doesn't, that you know, I don't use that as an excuse either.
No, and I'm not saying that you do.
Oh, yeah, but I was just saying that for my own.
I'm the one that brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that for my own, you know.
We are ultimately responsible, whether right. the schools like it or not, for training up a child in the way that he should go. When we abdicate that responsibility, even in part, because of whatever reason that we have, for example, we put our children into public school because we just don't have the wherewithal of the means to do it, it seems. Mm-hmm. When you do that, even with good intentions, you do cede some of your liberty.
Yes.
And you indicated that when you talked about, hey, we're just going to play the game. This is their rules. If this is what we're going to do, you're going to go to public school. You got to play the rules. When you cede that responsibility, you lose some of your liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spiral. It's a cycle.
A
and
slow
what we're seeing now,
toilet.
You talked about raising your sons to be men,
mm-hmm.
to be Christians, to be patriots.
White.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of stuck.
Yeah. You don't
not
get
necessarily.
Well, I've seen
they could
seen
identify
change.
Otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
But the more that goes against the modern agenda, and it's not just school districts here, it's that society in America is going against that. The more and more people that are listening to this are going to see this happening to yourselves. You're just one of the first ones that's out there. And I applaud you on the fact that you're willing to stand in there and fight and not just pull the kids out and run away and abandon all the other kids mm-hmm.
yeah.
that are there.
It's so much bigger than my boys.
It is. It is a big issue. That's why we chose to have you here and to hear your story. And if you're listening to this, these are things you need to think about. These are things you need to pray about. Yes, we need to be active and involved in parent-school relationships. Many of them just, you know, you'll drop the kid off and forget all about it and wait until the report card comes out and smack the kid because he got a D.
Yeah, I was one of, yeah. I'll openly admit I was that parent. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh my gosh, this, you know, I homeschooled my kids. Peyton was in fourth grade I put him in third grade when he went in. I had the blinders on. Oh my gosh, these are teachers. Of course they love my children. And we live in Sheridan. We live in Wyoming. And they wear cowboy boots. They're good people.
These are Republicans.
Yeah, they're
go to Cheyenne.
Yeah,
of course
yeah.
they're going to vote
and,
the right way.
And this
way.
Is a school. And I remember, but, you know, it's been 30 years. Since I was in elementary school.
We don't have to talk about how
good
long it's
Lord.
Been.
I was like, wow, that's been a long time. But it's totally different. And I was the one who assumed it was the same. We weren't in New York. We weren't in Chicago. We were in Wyoming in a small rural town. Like, I figured it was the same that, you know, it was okay. And so I didn't. I parent teacher conferences. What, you know, what are they doing wrong? Are they happy? Are they, you know, smiling? Are they mean to other kids? Like, tell me, you know, what they're doing with that. His handwriting stinks. Let's get him doing this. But I was that. And until a couple of things started happening, you know, and we're all that way. We're all blind until our eyes are open.
Right.
And I think that's what God's doing right now is he's opening a lot of eyes and there's got to be the few, you know,
there has to
people
be
who
pushback.
Don't stand up on the bus in order for you know, the rest of the people to that we should. We're all just humans.
I have to applaud you too for not just. Tiffany's not coming on the show to name names or call people out or slander anybody. You have gone through the proper channels of saying, I need to be heard.
Yes.
My boys need to be heard.
I think that
it's great that that has drawn you into the sphere of being aware of what's going on in the schools, because a lot of people have the blinders on. What usually takes the blinders off is getting kicked in the head. And it's unfortunate that most people have to
be. Are you making a reference to Preston?
No. But if I were, it's an accident.
He's kicking kids.
So, but the point that I was making was that unfortunately, it usually takes some kind of a crisis moment for people to wake up. But that's what you hear all of these conservative talk people saying is wake up, wake up. And that's what we're doing here. And that's why it's a pleasure to have you on, because we want more people waking up and more people going,
yeah,
it's not go along to get along. It's not how it was when we were kids. It's different.
No, and it's not.
It's an emergency.
I don't think that there are bad people. And I you know, their
like
hands
there
are
is a
forced.
Silence. I don't think they're bad people. Crickets.
They're not, but they're asleep too.
Edit.
They're
yeah,
asleep
edit.
In their own world.
Well, yeah. they get paid. They get a paycheck.
Right. You know, I mean, the principal of that school, I mean, you know, principals, you know, $90,000 a year. Our superintendents, you know, $200,000 a year. For what? For harassing my children?
No, that's a bonus.
Oh,
they slip them an extra.
Yeah, like that's Christmas. In the fine print.
Get those sheep in line.
And I get, you know, and there's humor and, you know, jackass and everything that, you know, but it's not okay how it's happening. You know, my business was severely impacted with COVID and now my children are, and, you know, I'm paying taxes and all of this crap. And you're sitting there harassing my children for not following your agenda and you haven't lost an ounce of pay. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And now they're coming out and saying, okay, it is all about the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They just admitted that.
Yeah, it's never about the money. Like I said, if this is happening to my kid, it's happening to others. And if it's happening now at this level, what's to say when the next rollout of agenda happens and it doesn't follow under her rule?
Like
what's
the vaccines.
What's going to happen to those kids? And in the treatment of my son, just because he has medical views of breathing, he doesn't like the masks, he's being harassed. He, you know, his religious views of, you know, I talk to him about, you know, Mark of the Beast. We talk about Revelations. We read the Bible. Like, he knows what's happening. You know, he's not, neither one of my kids are oblivious to what's going on. And they don't want to follow it for their own religious beliefs. You know, not to say their political views. I mean, my kid got text message after text message. Oh, I bet you're just crying right now because Biden got another vote. And I'm sitting here going, y'all are 11. Shouldn't you be playing with Tonka trucks?
Shouldn't you be talking about which one of you
would kill? Were
they counting
them one by one?
Yeah, I'm like, where's the rubber band guns and the pew-pew? Well,
they took those away.
Yeah,
now all that is politics and vaccines.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just our world's changing. And if we want to preserve any part of that, we got to get off our asses. Like there's so much, you know, and just in the little last couple months, it's unreal the corruption that's happening. And I'm not saying these people are bad. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying what they're doing is bad. And I've done bad things. We all have. But it's time to start waking them up. And I don't know. I don't want the village to raise my kids anymore.
Amen.
I want a new village, please. God. Amen.